Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. I know we are. We are your sports bros, Rop and Souk. I'm Rop. Hello.
Yeah.
Sada.
I see you right there.
Thanks. And there's Big Souk.
With dude.
Sitting right over there.
Right here. Every damn day.
Every damn day.
Sada.
Ryan Buckley is here.
I love cows.
He does love cows.
The cows were saved last night.
I know. If we got that lunatic Kamala, we wouldn't have any more cows. But
cows,
now we have the cows.
Pets.
You know. It's great.
Freeze up my January. Think about maybe, you know, I don't know what to do with now my free weekend in January.
Maybe there's an insurrection you can join south of the border when you go down to Mexico.
Yeah, that's true. My kids got caught in a political event in Korea once. They were sightseeing over there when they were visiting their sister and some sort of political unrest happened. And he's like, Dad, we just turned a corner and we were in the middle of like a full-on brouhaha. I was like, whoa. It's like, are you wanted now by the Korean government? He's like, it's possible.
Did they kick some ass?
I don't know how that all went down. But yeah, the Korean police came in and they were breaking it up. So was it kind of scary? He was like, oh, it was kind of fun. I was like, well, there you go. Way to participate in political unrest. I'm like, do you know what they were protesting? He's like, nah.
We have the odds on the 48th POTUS.
We're already looking ahead for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we sure are, fella.
It's going to be someone that we have no idea.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, there's 120 names on the list.
Okay, well, then maybe we do know. That's
including Greg Popovich. So
what?
I just want you to know that he's on the list.
Well, I mean, if someone would have said Donald Trump all those years ago.
You're right? Exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
I have concepts of a plan.
Pumping.
So we'll get to that in the club. We also have four-day work week news.
Boy, you've been on this for a long time.
A pioneer of the four-day work week. And we have more evidence that it works. Mm. It not only works, but kicks a lot of ass.
Keep pounding that drum, buddy. Keep pounding that drum.
You know what? I'm going to, because I'm a pioneer.
You are a pioneer. 40
Unlike
work weeks,
you,
loud mufflers, the whole deal.
You skeptical little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
We need courage around here.
Oh, I've got courage.
Well, I don't think
I got
you
it
do.
In spades. Only one of us was heading to the Capitol. Yeah.
Oh.
Speaking of, somebody just scored in the action game and got up and did the little Trump dance with the two arms.
Is that going to become a thing?
Maybe.
That become a TikTok thing? Boy. Still trying to process that one.
Yeah. Do you think he cares that that looks like he's...
It became very clear, like, the night or two before the election with that one microphone thing, that he did not care whatsoever.
Care. Well, do you think he knows, though? Has somebody told him?
I don't
know. Yeah, because he referenced it on, Truth Social. Yeah.
Oh, he did? What did he say?
Hold on, I'll find it.
I didn't know he addressed that. Because that's the major question.
I don't.
When he dances, it looks like it's
the double D dance.
He is, it's as if there are two large erect giraffes in front of him, and he is doing things to
all
them.
While dancing to a gay anthem.
Yeah.
YMCA.
So he is aware of...
He said, I was not performing blank blank on my mic, folks. I was pretending to eat a corn dog while waiting for the totally incompetent crew to fix my mic. This is pure election interference and fake news.
Well, no, you're talking about the one that he did the other day.
Yeah.
Where that was
Rob's talking about the
I'm talking about the two, the J-off thing.
Oh, right. And I'm saying, you asked if he cared, and I said, I think he made it clear the other day.
No,
he doesn't know the other one? I don't...
No one knows. No one knows, and it doesn't.
Yeah, matter. I mean,
that's your leader.
Somebody told him about
that. That's your fearless leader.
Don't
I'm
you
guessing,
think somebody tells
I'm
him about
guessing
that?
His kid tells him, right?
Yeah, right.
Someone.
Or Bryson DeChambeau.
Joe Rogan. Someone.
Dana White.
Someone.
He's got a whole team of sportsers now.
Yeah. With the whole thing.
Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa. Man, they're coming out of the woodwork, man. No one's hiding anymore. Wait till I break out my hat. I'm just going to show up one day. You don't even know what to do. You snowflake.
I would not respect that.
I'm going to own you, you lib.
Because I think the guys who are just at least like...
Open about it.
Open about their how crazy they are.
Yeah.
Like that's... I respect that more than the closeted...
Yeah, the hidden one.
That are trying to... Like they're ashamed, but then they...
Yeah.
You know.
No. I think they're coming out now. I think the gloves are off.
Now watch this drive.
right now.
Right, meow.
It is time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Number five.
We have Warriors v. Celtics tonight.
Yeah, the big revenge game. We're making this a thing.
It's a good game, though.
Yeah, this is the Jason Tatum FU to Steve Kerr game.
Yeah, he's got 3 points on 1 of 5 shooting. Doing great, Jace.
You smug Warrior. Boy, you Bay Area fans. Let me tell you, you guys are something else.
All he did is go out there and win a gold medal for our country, but sure, screw Steve Kerr.
Bay Area fans, I'm telling you, you guys are the worst.
Hey, I'm pro-America here. I don't know about you.
You're the worst.
It is 22-19 in favor of the green guys. Late first. Golden State started 1 of 11.
It's not good.
Oregon women take on Nevada later, and the Blazers are in San Antonio tomorrow.
Yeah, they got a couple days off, and then take on the Greg Popovich-less.
You think they're at the Alamo right now?
That's a good question. I wonder if Scoot went to the lake and then went to the Alamo.
Have you ever been to the Alamo?
I have been to the Alamo.
Pretty overrated, isn't it?
Unfortunately.
And small.
And I felt bad, but you know, I only wanted to go to the Alamo for one reason.
Number four.
To ask if I could see the basement. And the lady that was doing the tour, I'm sure she gets that so many times.
You are such an eye roll.
I know. It was... Believe me, the moment I said it, I was like, she just looked at me and I was like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I know. Like, that's... dumb. I apologize.
Minor baseball signing. The Angels have landed Cubs pitcher Kyle Hendricks 1 year, $2.5 million.
I'm sure that's very exciting for the Angels.
Padres extend the contract of skipper Mike Schild. He won 93 games in his first season. Shohei Ohtani had labrum surgery.
But the non-throwing shoulder.
Says he should be ready for spring training.
It's the one he separated sliding, but they did say they're not certain how that's going to impact his throwing program on the other arm.
And then for the Braves, they've got Ronald Acuna Jr. and Spencer Strider, both hurt. Acuna torn ACL, Strider had elbow surgery. And they're now saying that those guys are likely not going to be ready for opening day.
Yeah. It's fine. Anyways.
Yeah. Opening day. It's like the NBA.
I know. Yeah, wake me up.
He's into it.
Wake me up in June. I don't like it, too. They said that, you know, Scott Boras was meeting with the Yankees about Juan Soto and Pete Alonso. I don't like that. Well, you can't have the polar bear on the other New York team. It's not right.
Well, what else do I have here for you? We've got Brett McMurphy reporting that the Mountain West has been flirting with Northern Illinois and Toledo.
But that Northern Illinois is like,
They're like, whatever.
Well, they
You're the Mountain West.
They want to be a full member school in the Mountain West and wants them to be football.
Football only. Yeah, so the he's reporting now that the Mountain West is flirting with North Dakota State.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the one we talked about. Like, if you were the Pac-12, like, go get North Dakota State to take a step up. See if they want to.
I think that would be a nice little add.
Absolutely.
To the Mountain West.
Well, I think if you're the Pac-12, you should call them first. You know, get a little, espionage going on there. Look, of the schools that the Pac-12 could add, tell me that one would be more interesting than North Dakota State.
That's left out there?
There isn't one.
Number two.
Yeah, the answer is there is
number two.
Go get it. Go get the bison.
Ducks.
It's bison.
I had forgotten about Gary Bryant Jr. I'm not going to lie. Well, totally forgot about it.
Yeah, well, he's trending to be back.
They are saying he's a receiver for Oregon. He is on track to return against Maryland. The game will be on the Fan Saturday at 4. Now, it's also on the Big Ten Network. Do you know if you have the Big Ten Network?
I have
everything. Well, you have everything. Do you have the Big Ten Network?
I do. It's I believe it's part of the YouTube TV.
Is it on YouTube TV? Okay, yeah. Good. Okay. Well, we'll get to watch Oregon.
And if not, there was that whole thing where you would supposed to be able to like log in and stream it for free the first season or something. Remember that whole deal?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there was a whole thing there. Supposedly they were giving free.
Should be available though to all, or at least most Ducks fans. I believe.
All right. Well, that's all I have.
Yeah. Do we know who's starting? Well, I guess we don't. I'm like, who's going to start at right guard for Harper, too?
I don't. He might be okay.
Hey, you should ask him tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to go well.
Number one.
I know that Harper told the staff he thought he was going to be fine after the game, and I think that Lanning said that it looked like both Tez and Harper would be back. I think Harper sooner than Tez, for sure.
Yeah, but I would assume he's going to. I'll be surprised. I'm interested in keeping an eye on that, because remember, that was part of the whole problem at the beginning of the year when they couldn't quite figure out the O-line.
And number one NFL quarterback news, the Jags quarterback Trevor Lawrence is dealing with a shoulder injury, could keep him out this week against Minnesota.
Does it really matter?
The backup there is Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about old Mac Jones.
Panthers announced Bryce Young will return as QB1 this week against the Giants.
In Germany.
Oh, that's right.
We have to send them Giants. Ooh,
Panthers, Giants with Machine Gun Kelly as your halftime entertainer.
Boy, I'm just going to go ahead and say to the Germans, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
This is not how I wanted to introduce football to you.
We did them dirty.
I apologize.
Another rolled ankle for Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. He says it's sore, but he is able to move around quite well. Kansas City hosting Denver this week. Also just learning that Dak Prescott's part of his hamstring is off of the bone.
Yeah, he may be done for the year.
Partial avulsion of his right hamstring.
I mean, hamstrings are dicey, and he's going to go on the IR, which means a minimum of 4. But, dude, they're 3-5. I think you may have seen the last of Dak Prescott this year. I mean, why are you rushing back at that point? You know, no offense, but I don't think... Have you seen their schedule?
You're saying Cooper Rush ain't going to lead them to the playoffs?
No. No, they're 3-5 with some serious, serious issues, and they do not have a rose-petaled path. So this week they got Philadelphia there. It's going to stomp a mud hole in them. And then they get the Texans who, you know, are a good record. And then the Commanders and then the Giants and then the Bengals, Panthers, Bucks, Eagles, Commanders. I mean, there's maybe 3 wins on that schedule. Certainly not enough to make up the ground. So they're done.
There's your Hot 5-5. It's brought to you by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com.
That's a great read right there.
Is a 3-loss team making the playoff? Souk calling fake news on Heather Dinich.
It's not an honest assessment.
She's a dishonest reporter.
I don't like it.
Fake news.
I don't like it.
That's next on The Fan. Tricky, tricky to rock around, to rock around. It is tricky. Everything's tricky. Hey, okay, so I want to toss the ball over to you because that's what I do. I assist here.
Yeah.
That's my job. I don't shoot often, but when I do, man, does it go in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hibachi!
That's what I say when I shoot.
I would love to see you out at the local YMCA.
The Isachi Hibachi?
Launching Hibachi.
Dude, I tell you what, I could ball back in the day.
Back in the day.
Rolled too many ankles.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
So what's, let me replay this here. Heather Dinich was on the college football playoff rankings show yesterday, and here's what she said.
From 2014 to 2023, there has always been at least one three-loss team in the committee's top 10. Thank you, Stats and Information Group. So you can expect a three-loss team based on history to be in the committee's top 12.
See, this is an accurate statement. This is why I think this is a little wonky.
Okay.
So she is talking about the final rankings come after come after the conference championship games. So, and you're not including the fact that in most of those years you don't have a Boise State or someone like that that is going to have to be in. So you say that's in their final 12. Well, actually, no. You would have to be in the top 11.
Well, she said top 10.
Exactly. And it's just that's when you look through, that's just it's not accurate. Like I'm looking here at like the final week. So this may be going into like what we're talking about, like with the championship games. The final rankings, the conference is going to be funky. Are you going to punish people for losing in their conference championship game? Because most of the teams that when I went back and looked that were those three lost teams were teams that lost in their conference championship game. So when you add in the fact that you're going to get an extra team like Boise or Tulane or someone that's usually not in the top 10 or 12 that has to be in there, that takes one of those teams out.
That's fair.
And the years that someone has been that has been 10 and 3 that lost in the conference title game, they're always the last one. They're always number 12 or number 11, and they're going to get bumped back.
So she's saying top 10, though. She's saying that before the championship games? Because that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, when I'm looking here, again, she's just saying that that's the stats, and I'm just looking on ESPN, and it only goes back to, 2019 on this. But, like, let's take, I just pulled up week 20, or 2021 week 15, okay? So the 12th ranked team is Pittsburgh, that's 11-2. BYU is sitting there at 11-2. The 14th ranked team is Oregon at 10-3. And that's pretty much every year that I went back and looked at this. So now if we kick ahead. So
you're right. So she's saying that she is saying that these are conference championship game losers.
Yes.
That are the three lost teams. And they are still, but she's saying they are still in the top 10.
That's not true. So again, I'm just taking 2021. The top 10 team is Oklahoma and they're 11-2.
Damn,
and then
Heather
there's another team that's 11-2. And then the 12th team, now we're getting into Ole Miss. Now they're sitting there at 10-3. But this is my point. In this world that we're living in now, they don't go as the 12th team because there's going, I would scroll through here, Louisiana or Houston would get bumped up. Even though they're 16 and 17 in the rankings, one of them would have to be included. So it would bump 10-3 Ole Miss out of there.
Yeah.
So that's why I said there is a chance that a three-loss team that loses their conference title game, yes, there's a chance they get in. But if you lose the regular season, you lose three times, from what I can look at, just when looking at these polls, you are not going to get in, or you are going to need a lot of help to get in.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that is a little misleading, the way she put that.
Yeah. And again, that's just a stat that someone threw out there. But again, let's go to 20. And again, this is a very unscientific thing I'm doing other than just looking at ESPN that goes, week by week.
If you go to the collegefootballplayoff.com, they go all the way back.
Okay, so here is, again, I'm looking at 2022 now. I'm just taking the recent ones. The final week of the season, the 12th ranked team was Washington at 10-2. Penn State was 10-2. And then you get down, Florida State was 9-3, Oregon State was 9-3. That's 13-14. But who's right below them? Tulane at 11-2. And they would have to be included in that. So by like that, again, you're taking that team and one of those is going to get bumped out, which is why I said it's a little bit of a wonky thing.
Well, yours didn't go back this far, but if you go back to 2014, there were a bunch of three. As a matter of fact, number 9, 10, 11, and 12 are all three lost teams.
Three lost teams.
Yeah, and Boise State would have jumped because they were 11-2 at number 20, so they would have jumped in, but that still would have made for three lost teams. But then looking at the other years, it doesn't seem to be that way. So
I just look, there is a chance, and we've talked about this, and we've said this all along, if you're a three lost team, you are not out of it, but you need a lot of help as a three-loss team. And I just thought it was a little bit wonky there where you're like, well, get used to a three-loss team being in. Because I'm saying not so fast. Again, here's 2023.
Well, doesn't it? Yeah.
And the 12th ranked team is Oklahoma at 10-2. Then we get to Arizona and LSU and Louisville and Notre Dame. Those are the next in line. They're all three-loss teams. But again, that's on the outside looking in without one of those group of five teams getting bumped up.
But doesn't it seem too like there are a bunch of undefeated and one loss teams right now? Like, doesn't it seem like there's like this year in particular,
there's more than
there should be.
And some of that's going to get sorted out because obviously a lot of those teams play each other. I will take a flyer. I'm just going to throw it. I don't think a three loss team gets in this year.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and state that.
Well, Heather Dinich.
What do you think of that, Dinich?
Would like a word.
No. And maybe I'm full of it, but I don't know. I'll be interested. And I want to see what the committee does with teams that go on and play in a conference title game and lose versus teams that don't. Like I said, if you are a Power Four team and you're one loss, you're automatically in. I think if you're a two loss team, you are all but in. And so if you're a three loss team, you're praying that all those teams end up stubbing their toe. And I just think if you're punishing a team for losing their conference title game, I think that team should get in. And technically that would be a three loss team, right? That loses their conference title game. I just think it's a little more complex than that. And you're really only playing again for 11 spots, not 12.
So here is another clip of Dinich, and she is talking about the second place teams in the Big 12 and the ACC. This is kind of to our point of like, are those two leagues only going to get their champions in?
The two loss SEC teams should have the ACC and Big 12's second best teams very concerned. And as you point out, the Big 12's in a little more precarious position because in the ACC, you have SMU hanging out there at 13. But guess what? That Alabama LSU game, the loser, they're going to drop down. But the winner, what if LSU wins? Yeah. They're 15 behind Texas A&M. Where do they go? They go up here ahead of SMU, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at Alabama 2-loss, A&M 2-loss, they're ahead of Iowa State, K-State, Colorado. That's an issue for those teams. I think it could also be an issue for SMU because I think the winner of that Alabama-LSU game is going to stay on top of them.
This is all stuff that
it's a little
too early to talk about it.
Yeah, I just think some of these arguments they're having, and I get why they're having them, but I think they're disingenuous arguments, and a lot of this stuff is going to get sorted out, and I think it's just...
But it is going to be a thing.
It will
be a
thing.
I mean, you know it's going to be a thing.
Sure.
It's going to be the non-champion SEC teams that we know are really good versus the better record Big 12 ACC teams that we know aren't as good but have a better record.
No, and that's the other one. I will put my spear in the ground right now. There is no way that a one-loss power four team gets left out. Zero chance.
Well, what if there's a bunch of them?
There won't be a bunch. I mean, already there's not that many to begin with. But if you're SMU or you're BYU or you're Iowa State or you're Clemson already has two, but Miami or something, and you have one loss, Penn State, right? Penn State's a great example of this. Penn State could be 11-1 and not play in the Big Ten title game. Guess what? They're in. Even if there's not a single really good quality win, I guess theirs would be Indiana, right? I think they still have to play them. I just think sometimes we love to do these doomsday scenarios and, you know.
There have been several doomsday scenarios in the playoff.
Well, but that's when we're dealing with four. You got 12 now. So.
Well, there's always going to be isn't there always going to be someone pissed off?
Yeah, there'll always be someone.
No matter whether you have four,
yeah.
You could have 64. There's always someone pissed off.
And someone's saying here, and this is true, that the real test of this would be the Big 12 loser. The, whoever loses the Big 12 title game, that will be the litmus test.
Well, I think the ACC too.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless I mean, if SMU goes into the ACC title game, and they should win their next three games, and they lose
team,
that game, they are a two-loss team and non-champion in the ACC.
They should 100% be in.
That's a team that we'll test.
We shall see how this goes.
Coming up next, biggest coaching bargain in college football. Some say it's Dan Lanning, not these guys. Next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, some think Dan Lanning is the biggest bargain in college football right now.
What's he making?
They bumped him to about $7 million, so that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, you got to win. You know, you got to win it.
Yeah, I mean,
he's doing a great job, making a mistake.
But he's never won a conference. I mean, he's only been there a few years, but this is what I said going into the year. Like, he's never won anything.
Well, I mean, I think it's the trajectory.
Sure.
But still, at $7 million a year, pretty damn good based on what he's rolling out. I mean, what is he, like 30-something and five?
He's been quite good.
But I don't know that he's the biggest bargain in college football until he wins it.
Sure.
The biggin'. This story.
I would even take just, again, win some conference championships. You do that consistently. I don't know if you have to win the big one. Like,
well, if he wins the big one, he's getting up to the $12 million range.
I would
stat.
Assume. Yes.
You know, I don't know if he gets there or if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't win the tournament.
I'm looking to see what I wanted to pull up the salaries.
Well, anyway, Yahoo Sports. You know who they're calling the biggest bargain in college football?
No, because that's why I'm not certain. That's why I wanted to pull up a...
And they have the numbers to prove it?
I wanted to pull up a ranking. It's not like Dabo or Kirby because they make a gajillion dollars.
This guy makes 5 years.
He makes 5 years?
$30 million.
Okay, so 6 a year. Let's see if I can guess here. Because I got the list in front of me. So he makes $6 million. God, I'm looking at the people that make six, and it's not like it's a...
They say it is Coach Prime.
Do you believe?
Oh, I don't see him on here.
Because
there he is.
What they're saying about him is that you've got a little bit of the Flutie effect going on,
mm-hmm.
And that, of course, is when Doug Flutie for Boston College, that Hail Mary in 1984.
Everyone started signing up for Boston College.
Boston College saw a 20% jump in applications over the next handful of years.
You've seen the Saban numbers, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's in here, too. That's actually the most shocking one.
But as much as he got paid, he technically was the greatest investment in NCAA history.
So it's they said
silly.
Not only did enrollment increase from 25,000 students when Nick Saban arrived to 60,000 students when he retired.
Yeah, out of state.
But they have also fundamentally changed the composition of their student body.
Yeah.
Before Saban, the University of Alabama had three times more in-state students than out-of-state students, but today that ratio has flipped, and Alabama's student body now consists primarily of out-of-state students.
Yeah, and out-of-state pays like three times as much.
It's an important distinction because out-of-state students pay three times more in tuition than in-state students, $34,000 to $12,000 annually, which has helped Alabama collect billions in additional tuition.
Yes, he has paid for himself 100 times over.
So Colorado, what they're saying about Colorado here is that, well, they were talking about the Flutie effect. Okay, Boston College, Butler was another one when they made the national championship game in 2010, 40% increase in applications. Florida Gulf Coast, same thing. Colorado, they have averaged, just last year, they averaged 7.2 million viewers during their primetime games, yeah, which is really, really good for a team that wasn't really that good.
Yeah.
Their school received a record 68,000 applicants for fall 2024, which is a 20% increase from 2023. And they ended up extending offers to 51,000 students, an enrollment increase of almost 3.5% year over year. That's huge.
Yeah.
The typical counter argument to the Flutie effect is that the impact is minor because schools have a limit on how many students they can accept, which is technically true. But the problem with that is that it discounts other things like how heightened demand enables the school to raise academic standards. And more importantly, the fact that some students are more financially viable than others. Yeah. So they say that merch at CU because of Prime is now a thing.
Well, I know Sprague talks about this. Sprague bought a Coach Prime Colorado sweatshirt last year.
Well, you know, he's got the whole sunglass thing.
Absolutely.
But they said that Colorado's online team store sales were up 2,544% last year.
I can see that.
The school's social media accounts have added more than 1 million followers over the past 2 years, and they played in 5 of college football's top 25 most watched games last year, selling out every single home game.
Isn't that crazy to think one guy? Well, I mean,
it's amazing.
I want to see what happens this year with women's college basketball, because last year, I mean, the women's final did better than the men's final. And we've seen when Caitlin Clark entered the WNBA, her numbers are insane, and it's up across the board, but when she's not playing, those numbers
Caitlin
are not
Clark is wide.
They're not through the roof. So, like, if Dion left Colorado, all of that stuff goes away overnight. And I kind of want to see what happens with Caitlin Clark being gone out of the NCAA.
That is one way to look at Prime's value.
Yeah.
And you cannot, can't deny that at all. Now, you still got to back it up with the X's and O's. Mm. And we didn't think he was, but he is.
They're
this
having a nice year.
They're pretty good.
Yep.
I just wonder if this – I don't know if he's the biggest bargain in college football. That seems like a really, really, really good hire. Mm. We all were like, what the hell, at first. But, man, that's outside the box, and it worked. I wonder if this is kind of the new age college football coach. Like, part of why they're going to hire a college football coach now is they got to get sales up because now they're having to pay kids.
Yeah.
And they must you have an element to you? Like, Dan Lanning does this. Like, Dan Lanning is a guy who is kind of this new age coach that he's just cool. He makes the program cool. And it's not all him, but he's a guy that, balanced with good X's and O's, has kind of the whole package that you want these days. Prime has that, although we were kind of questioning the coaching acumen a little bit. But, dude, he won all kinds of games at Jackson State.
We'll see what happens when his kid leaves next year. But yeah, I mean,
but if USC hires him,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that is just a tremendous hire for all of these reasons alone.
Well, and he's such a unique guy because, you know, as much as you know, there's just not other ones out there like this. There is no one that is a force of nature like Deion Sanders.
Not really,
Yeah, I get where you're coming from.
You need to find this archetype of guy? Like, you know, there's always copycat. Like, these guys are going to come around.
They tried hiring. Was it Bethane Cookman or whatever that tried hiring Ed Reed? They were trying to do this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
Ed Reed, yeah.
Look, I'll say this. I wouldn't do this if I was, you know.
Well, like, yeah. You don't have to. If you're Ohio State, you don't have to do that.
But if I was a school like Colorado, and we said this when they hired him, dude.
Which is most schools.
I have no idea if this works. If you can hire someone with a brand name like that that draws eyeballs and that kids want to be a part of the cool thing, dude, go for it. And it looked a while there that the old Prime was walking a tightrope. And again, not that he's come out the other side and everything's hunky-dory, but he seems to have figured this out this year. And I don't think you can probably easily quantify what he's meant for that school.
Yeah, I just think
it went from one of the most irrelevant programs to one of the most talked about.
I just think there is a new thing where winning is not enough.
Yeah.
You have to create the energy and the juice.
Yeah.
Now, when we see Dan Lanning, we sit, I mean, we have a front row seat to what Dan Lanning is doing. Part of his coaching style is just energy and juice. Now, like you said, not everybody is like that, but you have to. I wonder if just coaches are going to start working on that element, because you know who has it is created at freaking Indiana is this old Kurt Cignetti guy,
100%.
And he doesn't seem like the coolest guy,
but he's got.
But man, does he
Google me, bitch?
He create the energy and juice, and that's what you got to do.
Well, and supposedly when Lanning was being interviewed, and you know, supposedly that was one of the things that attracted them about Dan Lanning was that he just was a very intense, high energy guy,
and that fits.
And it fits. I've said this time and time again. I do think that this age of college football, it is a young man's 20, I'm going to work 21 hours a day, obsessive. I do think that needs to be the archetype for college football.
So when I go to, but again, it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But when I think about Oregon State, I think Jonathan Smith is a tremendous
coach. He did a great
coach.
Job there.
He really is. But he's not.
No.
He's not really that juice energy guy.
No.
And I don't think Trent Bray really is either.
No. No, they're not. But again, this is why I said I think it's hard to find. I think it's hard to find those people, and not everyone can. But if you gave me the choice between two qualified candidates, I will take the one that's got more sizzle, you know. But I also think that you can do it the other way. I mean, like you said, Jonathan Smith was building a winner at Oregon State. We'll see what happens in building one at Michigan State. I just think that those types of coaches that you're talking about, they're like NFL quarterbacks. We all want one. They're really hard to find.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of others that kind of have that. I mean, Cristobal, you know.
Cristobal's got some of that.
He's got a little bit of it.
Absolutely. He has a very manly sort of swagger.
We just rolled, brother.
Sort of thing about him.
Sark's got a little bit of it.
Sark's got a little bit of it. Sark's kind of bro-y, but definitely has some of that.
Like DeBoer and
I don't know.
Kirby.
Just kind of a night Kirby does. Kirby's a high. I mean, he's a former all-SEC player, for God's sakes. That guy's pretty fiery. Saban had he was different, but he may be one of one, which is kind of that same mold that, you know, that they're trying to get Kirby into. Dillingham has this.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a dog mentality.
See, I feel like Brian Kelly doesn't.
He's just a good coach.
He's
a
great coach. Ryan Day, same.
But yeah, you get the Kenny Dillinghams of the world that are like 33 years old and they're jumping into the crowd with fans. I mean,
it's kind of like Lane Kiffin was kind of the original in this.
Yeah,
but Kiffin he was just a little smarmy and kind of.
And he wasn't necessarily the high energy guy. He was, but he was the cool guy.
Juice. Yeah. He just had.
Kingsbury has some of this, you know, kind of the cool swag. It's the idea of. The mom wants to sleep with
Kaelin Clark is white.
The dad wants to
misfire.
The mom wants to sleep with you. And the dad wants to drink with you.
You know, Kingsbury is an interesting one. If you could ever lure him back to college, I don't know if he would want to do it. That's a good one.
Yeah,
I'd look at him if I'm a. I don't know. Maybe if I'm a Washington, if
Fish doesn't work out,
Fish leaves or something like that.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I do think that in today's world, I do think that style. Is part of it, 100%. And if Coach Prime, I just still don't think he ends up at Colorado. I still think if he either gets fired there or he has success and he bolts for a bigger program. I can't see him. That sort of effect, someone's going to look at that and be like, why is he at Colorado?
Well, that's what I said. I think, I mean, I don't know if USC is going to move on from Lincoln Riley. They probably won't. But I just think Prime and USC is a very interesting fit.
If he's got the chops to back it up.
Well, I just mean, if you're USC, I think that's worth the risk.
Sure.
I don't know if he's got the chops to back it up.
But you have to see.
But I think that could be a home run.
Look, I'll say this. If Lincoln Riley falls on his face next year and Prime has another 8-win season at Colorado, if I'm USC, I'm picking up the phone.
Hell yeah.
But you got to prove that you can do it. And you got to prove that you can do it without your kid.
All right. Do you know what's coming up next?
I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
What do we have coming? Oh, yeah.
We'll be right back.
Bonus Seggy.
On the Fan. All right. Coming up tomorrow, Dan Lanning will be on our show. We have a college basketball name game that Buckley has put together. Always that like should be fun.
Like a good name game.
Yeah, we did this for college football, too. I think Rop was out. We did it with Ortner and Suk, and it was the Steed Cream Roper Memorial name game.
It's the best thing is that you thought that was a real guy.
Yes, it is.
And you missed it, Buck, but in everyone else out in Radio Land, it was amazing. So I'm watching the Red Wings play in their intermission. So there, it's Red Wings Blackhawks on TNT. And so I was watching it, and Rop turns around. I don't know why he turned around. I don't know to see what I was watching. And it's an intermission, so they have the TNT crew up there. And right as Rob turned, they did a close-up on Wayne Gretzky. The look on Rob's face when he saw what Wayne Gretzky has turned into.
Looks like.
I wish that we could have had a snapshot of Rob's face. Just the,
horrified?
Well, it's not horrifying. I just don't understand why guys do that. He's got a bunch of filler in there.
Yeah, and he's got a perm now.
And he's got a, he looks, it's just like.
Well, he's part of a long, illustrious list of male celebrities that as they age turn into middle-aged lesbians. And it's a,
he's a
it's
handsome
a story
guy.
Tradition.
I know, but I just don't understand why guys do it. I'll never understand it. It looks terrible. It looks like he has a mask on and he's got a wig and a mat. Like, what are you hiding?
His face has not moved in like 6 years, and the hair. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. But it's he's got like
him.
A new "It's Fun to Be a Girl" hairdo that he's got going on, and it's. It's rough, great one. It's rough.
Just, dude, grow out the locks.
Yeah.
You know, have that hockey flow.
Yeah.
Maybe whiten the teeth a little bit. That's easy to do.
I think getting old is hard when you're in the spotlight.
Have a
man.
Nice tan and maybe some cool old man glasses, and you're fine. You don't need filler. You don't need a toupe.
I feel like we need to nominate some people who have done this the most gracefully and then just tell other people, go talk to that guy. He figured it out.
You know,
who are those people?
There's one guy I saw recently who I thought looked good. He's older, but he's had no work done. He just put together was Steve Carell. Have you seen him lately?
Oh, yeah.
Growing
out
a
like
white
he's aging
beard.
Naturally.
Yeah, he's aging naturally, but he just looks good. He looks good.
But he still looks aged because there's other people that are like weird and timeless. Mine is, and I know I'm selfish here, but I think Jeff Bridges looks amazing. And he's like 70.
Yeah.
And I think
he's aged very well.
But he's had gray hair for a long time.
He's had gray hair for a long time, but he's wrinkled and he does the beard and all that. But he just looks really good.
That's what I'm saying.
He's 74.
Well,
he looks age appropriate.
Everything I just described of what Wayne Gretzky should do, that's what he does.
Yeah.
He's just tan.
Yeah.
He grows out his long flowing hair in its natural color.
Yeah.
What else did I say? Maybe some nice glasses.
Yeah, Bridges.
Whiten the teeth.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
And then just dress nice.
Yeah,
you're the freaking great one. No one expects more than that. You're fine. Just go be yourself.
Exactly.
Well, he's hanging out.
It is also weird. Here's another layer to this. It's also so weird to normies like me that the greatest people at what they did, like LeBron and Gretzky and who else am I thinking of? Just true greats, so incredible, are so freaking insecure.
Yeah.
That just blows me away.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
get it. It's human condition.
Human condition.
It's just, dude, you're freaky. Like Buck said, you're Wayne Gretzky.
People call you the great one.
Well,
you don't need to do anything.
Well, I mean, but I'm just like.
Just showing the vanity like that, it's not what I want out of my superstars.
It's not to say don't try to look nice, but like, you don't have to do that.
That's right.
It's rough.
That's right. LeBron tries way too hard, and it takes a little off of the, it knocks him down a peg in my book.
But LeBron's got it going on, because at least as a black guy, you won't turn in, like, it's a white man exclusive that turns into the middle-aged lesbian. If LeBron was white, I guarantee that in like 10 years, we'd look at him and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He's starting to look like Dana Carvey, AKA Katie Lang. That's the one saving grace he's got. Because if you are a vain white celebrity, it's like you don't have a choice. You remember when Bruce Jenner started to transition? No one knew he was transitioning. We just thought he was turning into an old lesbian. We're like, oh, and then he was like, surprise.
I'm actually a woman.
He was the OG.
Yeah, he was the OG. You know, unfortunately now it's
And
just,
he was a very, now he transitioned, so it's different.
Yeah.
But he was a very handsome man.
Yes, he was.
Didn't need to do a damn thing.
No. But it's happening. It happens to the best of them.
Tom Brady's doing it.
Tom Brady is doing it. I'm telling you, Tom's in that sweet spot right now where it's like, it still looks okay. In a number of years, it's going to get really uncomfortable when Tom joins this club.
Maybe it's just that they have too much money and time.
Well, I think it's like, you know, you start doing one nip and tuck. Yeah. And it probably starts off with some Botox and then some, like, you know, someone's like, hey, while we're in here, hey, we can do this. And before you know it, you're a perfectionist. You start to,
I get it. I get it. But I think when you have a bank account like that and you're retired, you're like, what else am I going to do?
Might as well spend it on that. Yeah. Hasselhoff, I'm looking at a recent one. Hasselhoff's got this going on right now. He's getting really bad with it. It's a rough.
Now, see, I would expect.
Yeah,
because he's an actor.
That's kind of desperate.
Yeah, like, come on. Yeah, he just wants to keep the.
Yeah.
But the great superstar athletes.
Yeah,
because I want them to be like, just like, I don't give a rip. Yeah. I'm badass.
Because you don't.
It's a vibe.
Yeah, because you don't need, like with an actor, you're trying to hold on to leading man roles.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're Wayne Gretzky, you're not still trying to go out and play.
You're Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we covered that, guys.
Well, I just saw your look of horror when you turned around and saw Wayne Gretzky. And the best part is, without saying a word, I knew immediately.
Well, you went to his hair, and I said, no, I was looking at his filler. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that's the thing is I see him all the time on the hockey coverage. So, unfortunately, the plastic face.
You're used to it now.
I'm used to it. But the hair this year, whether that's a perm.
I don't think I've seen it yet.
Well, it's either a perm or a wig. And I'm not certain which one. But
yikes. If he's going faux hair, that is sad.
It's not. Wait till you see it. It's not good. It's not good.
Who will be the 48th president? Is it too early to start discussing this? That's next on The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.